This episode is sponsored by Artistic You. Artistic You is an online yarn shop. You've heard us talk about them before. Marcy does all of the dyeing, and boy, she has a gift with color, and I appreciate that so much. I'm right now looking at her featured yarn. Right now is Stroll Sock Yarn, and three colors that she sent, I'm going to include this picture in the show notes, is Tequila Sunrise, which is a colorway that you can kind of imagine what that would look like. It looks like a tequila sunrise drink. And Cinnabar, which is one of my new favorite colors. It's just, I always think of it as paprika. It's kind of a barely orangey red. And both of those are not really solid. They're that beautiful, I guess people call it kettle dyed, where you get a tiny bit of variation in the solid color. So pretty. It does make beautiful socks. And then the third color in this photo is called New Shoes. And it's brights that include both the Cinnabar and the Tequila Sunrise color. So if you wanted to use those in combination in a pair of socks or in a shawl or something, it is beautiful. And if you want to, well, I encourage you to open your app and take a look at this photo or visit my website. And Marcy is giving us a discount if you want 20% off anything in the shop, not just the Stroll sock yarn, but anything in her shop. Just go to artisticyou.com and use the code VERYPINK20, and I will have that photo, of course, you do want to see this, and a link to Artistic You and the coupon code in the show notes. Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy, and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey is the media manager here at Very Pink, and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com, and please tell us where you're from. This is episode 145, so if you'd like to see the show notes for this episode, just go to verypink.com and click the podcast tab at the top of the page and look for episode 145. Or if you're using an app, you can just open this episode in the app and see all the links and the pictures and everything, which is what I always do when I'm listening to podcasts. That's how I see pictures. You? Is that what you do?
Yep.
Yep. I listen to a lot of podcasts.
I always check the show notes and go to their links and stuff like that.
Yep. That's what we do. And it's funny because you and I have a podcast, yes, but I think more than that, we spend more time listening to podcasts than we do recording a podcast, for sure.
True.
We're podcast fans. So what's going on?
I just took a little quick trip to Philadelphia, so I'm kind of out of it.
You went to Philadelphia to talk about podcasting.
Yes, for marketing researchers. So right. Kind of a little different from what we do here.
Yeah, you have a lot of oars in the water. And two of them are podcast oars. How is your arm healing?
That's good. I've been walking around without my little cast thing, and I was able to travel this week, and I was probably lifting up more than I was supposed to, but it didn't hurt. Right. So
okay, good. And you're knitting, obviously, because you keep posting pictures of stuff you're knitting.
Yeah, well, I don't think I've posted a picture. I'm making a little hoodie. So my youngest, back when my older son was little, he was like 7, he was super into dinosaurs. So I made the sweater with dinosaur scales down the arms.
Right, right.
Zippy hoodie. And then my mom helped me finish it because I was like I had small children and it was hard for me to finish. So she finished it. But so he didn't wear it as much as now my younger son wears it because it's made out of like a cotton yarn and it feels like his blankie. Oh. And then he had me add these terrible wings to it.
Yeah.
So it's like all shaggy. It's too small. It's crazy looking. And he loves it. So I was like, what if I made you a nicer version of that that doesn't have dinosaur spikes? That's just like a regular hoodie. So that's what I'm working on.
Oh, he's going to love it.
Yeah. So he's excited. So it has like a little kangaroo pocket.
Did he pick the colors and stuff?
Yeah, it's like this bright blue, and I'm using Knit Picks cotton. I think it's a cotton acrylic blend, so I can wash it.
Oh, good.
And it's so for a while, like when I was knitting, it was hurting to do really small stuff because I did finish that sock, but it was taking me a long time to work with like that tiny yarn. So this is a worsted weight, easy, bigger needle kind of thing.
Yeah. So
long story to get to what I'm knitting.
Well, no, you're knitting, and that means, I mean, you're healing. Everything's moving in the right direction. That's good.
Yeah.
Because it's important. You want to knit.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm knitting like crazy because I have a video shoot coming up and I want to finish designing this cardigan that I'm designing. So, yeah, that's why I'm listening to a lot of podcasts, is because I'm knitting and knitting and knitting, pausing the podcast, typing and typing and typing to get the pattern out of my head and on paper. So that's, but yeah, it's good.
Well, it looks good.
We're all up in like tornado season right now. So it's best just to stay inside and knit anyway, right?
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Knock on wood. Austin is kind of in the weather bubble where a lot of stuff happens around us, but we're okay where we are.
Right.
Yeah. But staying inside and knitting is fine by me. okay, this week you have an interview.
Yes.
You have an interview that when you first told me about it, I thought it was going to go one direction. Then it kind of went the other direction. So tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, and I can't remember. I think a listener sent me the article. It's about a community it's an alternative school. And where the kids, you know, got in trouble at the regular school. So they have to go to this other school before they get expelled for good. So, you know, these kids are coming from kind of a rough background and they don't really have good coping skills. And so the woman I talked to, Wilma, had volunteered previously at other schools teaching knitting. And so she brought the knitting to this school and she talks about how it's really helped these kids who are, you know, struggling with just dealing with stress and how to manage their emotions. And the knitting has really helped them. So that's what we talked about.
That's great. Oh, yeah. That sounds, well, let's have a listen.
Hi, my name is Wilma Hoffman, and I'm a retired teacher in the Hartford Public Schools in Hartford, Connecticut. And I'm sorry about my voice. I have a little laryngitis, so this is not my normal voice. But I'm very happy to talk on this program and tell you about the exciting knitting club I have with the Hartford Public Schools. And I've been knitting with students for many, many years. And now I have a program in the school, the New Vision School, and it's a school for expelled students who haven't behaved in their regular school and who have been expelled, and they have a certain number of days from a month to a year that they must stay in this school and take their regular classes. But the principal had an idea that knitting might help them because I had worked with him in a previous school and we had clubs there and we had knitting and I knit with many students there, many students who came from many different countries, and he saw what a wonderful thing the knitting was. Even though these students didn't speak English, they all wanted to knit. Now I'm with a school that has students who have been expelled from their regular school, and they have students who have a lot of trauma, a lot of behavior issues. They are students who, there are more students there now who are coming from a different high school who are not able to behave in the regular school environment because they walk the halls and they don't go to class and they skip. So he has more students, and I'm going to be doing another day of knitting with these students from Hartford Public High School. And so they're going to start another day next week of knitting. And because of the two articles that were in the Hartford Current, it was a case of so many people donated. I was getting calls every single day, many calls from the article. And I've gotten monetary donations. I've gotten yarn, needles. I have a whole room full of yarn there and at the school. And so we have many, many, much, much yarn for sure, enough for probably 10 years. And the students there really, really enjoy the knitting. Even though they're supposedly behavior problem students. They come in the room and I have many boys who knit. I have never had so many boys that want to knit, and they're very enthused about knitting. And some days the mixes of behavior don't always work the best, but I have many volunteers that come to the school that also came from the article, people calling me and saying, can I help you?
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that the kids said in the article I thought were really exciting, because they talked about how they're not as stressed, or that the knitting has really helped them calm down when they're in a stressful situation and things like that. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I always said, you know, for years before this happened, you know, because I've been knitting with students for years. I see students, you know, years later, and they say, I still knit. So these students have a lot of trauma in their life. And so I always called it therapeutic knitting, because I always thought that knitting was relaxing. And so, and it's repetitive. And so when these students come into the room, you know, they sort of like, well, some days, and some kids, they do relax. You know, there's a very difficult child who you can't get to do it, and he can't, you know, they won't cooperate. But most of them, you know, they really want to come in the room and sit down and get their knitting bags. A volunteer made a whole bunch of knitting bags for them, and they put their yarn and their needles in it, because they don't take these back and forth to home, because it's needles are a weapon, and so they can ask the principal to take home another set of needles and yarn and leave it at home, but they can't carry it back and forth to the school on the bus. So, but they often, when I was working with a social worker in the room, she would say that kids would come in and say, can I knit for a few minutes, because I'm stressed out and I need to relax, you know, and knitting is very relaxing, and because it's repetitive, and they have to concentrate on it. So, I've had kids make like a few scarves now, you know, we also did a project where we made those, because it's sort of like teaching them kindness, loving kindness. And so we made those tied blankets that you take two pieces of fleece, and we brought them to a shelter in Hartford, and we donated those blankets so the kids can learn how to give to people who are less fortunate. It's just a very good thing for these kids, because they really, many of them don't behave in the classroom. I'm very proud of the fact that I have some students who are very difficult to handle, but yet, especially today, there was one, and he did sit and learn how to knit.
That's awesome. So what would you tell somebody if they wanted to start a program like this? What are some things that maybe caught you off guard, or maybe you need to tell somebody who's not buying into it? What would you say to somebody who wanted to start something like this?
Well, I've had many people call me or text me or send me notes that said that, gee, this would be a great program for me to start, you know, with students that I have that are difficult. And I would tell them to be very positive, to I have a certain way that I teach knitting, and it's, you know, I have a certain pattern that I say when I teach the knitting. And I would tell the person that it's a wonderful thing, that they should really go for it, that they should even try for their most difficult student, the most difficult, challenging person, because I found one today who I said is going to be my challenge. That he's, you know, he says he ran out of the room. He didn't want to stay, but he came back, and I'm determined that he's going to really learn to knit, and he knows how to knit and likes the whole idea of it. And you can't force somebody, you can't force a person to knit, and I found that out, but you can encourage them and make sure that they see the advantages of it. And even positive, that if a kid is in stress, I've even put it in their plan that if they can't sit in the classroom, they can knit while the teacher talks, and then they're calm. So I would suggest to any teacher that has a kid that has a plan, you know, an IEP or another kind of plan for a child that is traumatized, that they can put it in their plan, because I did it once, that the child may, once they know how to knit, they may knit while the teacher talks, and then they're occupied, and so they're not making any trouble, you know, they're knitting.
Right.
And they're calmer. I see it as a wonderful thing in a student's life, especially a student who has many, many issues in their life.
Well, that's fantastic. I really appreciate you taking the time to share this story with us, because I think it will inspire some other people.
I hope so. I'm very glad to talk to you on this program.
Thank you very much, Casey. That was really good.
Thanks.
I thought it was going to be like a lot of the things that I read, or the New York Times article that just came out about knitting being used to teach math concepts and things like that. But this is totally something I can get behind because I know it. And that's knitting as a way of controlling your emotions and or just calming down. Those are that's very different than what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's nice to see that the kids are recognizing that's a good way of managing when they're feeling stressed, is instead of acting out to try to turn to their knitting.
Yeah. And not only is it a good way of calming down, but you actually can watch your progress and have something nice when you're finished. That's all.
Yeah.
It's all part of it. Oh,
that's
well,
true.
Thank you for that, Casey. It's an uplifting interview.
Yeah.
Sure. We should probably magically turn some knitting questions into knitting answers if you want to get into that.
Okay. Hi, Stacey and Casey. I've started listening to your podcast just recently. I'm not quite caught up, but I listen to several episodes each day. It's very it's very informative, along with all of your videos. I've learned a lot from all your videos, and they have inspired me to learn new techniques. My question relates to winding a hank of yarn into a cake. I recently went to a local yarn shop and bought a hank of beautiful wool yarn. I took it home to wind into a cake, and let's just say I did not have a good experience. The yarn is now a knotted and tangled useless mess. I don't have a swift at home and tried to use a chair back. When I was winding the yarn, it kept getting tangled in the other strands, and eventually a mess ensued. Do you have any tricks for winding yarn without a swift? Thanks, Zach from St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, Zach. Sorry you had such a terrible experience.
That's awful.
It is. But, I mean, we've all been there.
Yeah.
It is easy to use a swift. Well, here, let me back up. When you buy the yarn at a yarn shop, they will either wind it for you or let you use their swift and ball winder before you leave the shop. So you can do that if you like. But you don't have to have a swift at home. It is easier. You can use a chair back. The most important thing is this. Unroll the hank so it's in, you know, one big circle, and then really take a look at the strands of yarn that are wrapped around the hank to hold it together. You want to make sure that no strands are crossing over that yarn that's holding the hank together. Because if one strand is crossing over, that means you don't have the loop the way it should be. You need to straighten those strands out before you start before you cut those strands to start winding the yarn. Because if one strand is over, it doesn't matter if it's only one. That messes up everything. You will never get that thing to unwind properly unless it's somehow magically at the very end of one of the ends, you know, one of the two ends. Yeah, just make sure of that. But then if you throw it on the back of a chair back and start winding it, as long as it doesn't fall off and get tangled at that point, a chair back is fine. It's a little more work than a swift and ball winder. Yeah. Or get that Red Heart tangle-free.
The cursed yarn.
The cursed yarn from the sidewalk. Yeah, next time you see some yarn on the sidewalk, just pick it up and...
If you don't know what we're talking about,
that's like two episodes ago.
I posted that idol from the Brady Bunch when they went to Hawaii and they were cursed.
There's also some movie, because Steven posted something a few years ago about some movie, and I can't remember the actress's name. Is it Margot Kidder is in this movie? And there's something about it's just like that Brady Bunch episode where there's like this cursed mask. And anyway, and she has it in her house.
You have to like pass it on to the next
person. You have to pass it on to the next person. Well, I think All kidding aside, I hope I have answered Zach's question, because it really is just a matter of making sure that you're starting on the right foot. You don't have to have a Swift.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. This says, hi, Pink.
Not my name, but thank you.
I started knitting again for the first time since childhood a year ago, shortly before the aunt who taught me how to knit died. Without her tutelage, I have still made good progress teaching myself in the last year. I'm at a point when I'm trying to improve my speed, and your YouTube videos on flicking have very much helped, and I've made a deal with myself that I'm committing to this for my next two projects. My two questions. One, my tension has become consistently very tight, a bit too tight. Any tips here? I'm experimenting with different ways of holding tension in my right hand and currently wrap twice around my pinky, and I keep dropping it if I only wrap once. And then our next question, my current project is a pair of socks with some Fair Isle. Do you have any recommendations for how to hold and switch between the two colors? Many thanks for any advice you can give, Virginia.
Okay. Hi, Virginia. I do have some advice for your first question. Your tension has become consistently very tight, and you're wrapping the yarn twice around your pinky, which might be part of the problem. Maybe you're just not getting enough slack on the yarn to have easier tension. But she keeps dropping it if she only wraps once. Oh, I would still try to just wrap it once around your pinky. Okay, here's the thing. Anytime you want to change something about your knitting, whether it's knitting too tightly, knitting too loosely, the way you hold your hand is maybe causing fatigue in your elbow, whatever you want to change about the way you knit, you have to focus on that. That you have to put your attention on that and always think about, I'm going to loosen this up. And you're knitting these stitches. I'm going to keep this loose. And you do that, and it's not quick, because knitting takes patience and changing habits takes patience. But once you start doing that and the muscle memory starts, that will be the way that you knit. So it's just focus. And you can't think about it for a while and then switch back to not thinking about it, because your tension will go right back to being really tight. Get yourself back into it and start. And for me, the best way to change something, like I did this when I taught myself continental, which still isn't my primary way of knitting, but I can do it. I did this when I started flicking. I knit a blanket, and a blanket is a big rectangle piece of fabric that you can knit, and it's maybe the easiest way to change something about your knitting, because you're not fitting a garment, and if a blanket ends up being bigger or smaller than you thought, it's fine. A scarf would be the same way. You can do that, but I always commit myself to a blanket where I know I'm going to change something and work on something, and then that blanket is the, hey, I learned continental knitting this blanket, or hey, I discovered flicking. I didn't discover flicking, but no one had introduced it to me, so I did in fact discover flicking in my own mind, right? No one showed me how to do it. And that's, it's just focus, and you really have to retrain your muscles to do that. And the second project is a pair of socks with some Fair Isle. You know, I've tried to design socks with Fair Isle. I mean, I've had such ideas for socks with Fair Isle and actually done some test knitting and stuff. I am never happy with Fair Isle socks. End up with floats on the inside that catch your pinky baby toe, your stupid pinky baby toe that won't get in line with the other toes. And then it changes the tension of the sock, where it doesn't pull over your heel as easily. I'm not a fan of Fair Isle socks. Have you ever knit a pair, Casey?
No, I was actually, the yarn I was just showing you that I just bought more of, because I love those socks. I had started to try to add a little Fair Isle at the cuff, and then I realized how off my gauge was, because it was a lot tighter.
Yeah.
So I didn't do that.
Yeah. And I'm good at keeping
the floats. I love the look of them.
I love the look of it too. I think it's just easier to use self-striping yarn or something. But if you are doing a great job of keeping the floats loose in socks, then your stupid baby pinky toe is going to grab that float when you try to put the sock on. And then if you kind of keep things tidier and tighter, you're not going to get that cuff over the heel of your foot.
Yeah.
And it's not, I mean, I Fair Isle is awesome. Love it. Love it. Love it. Not on socks. Okay, but that's not what Virginia's asking, Virginia.
No.
She didn't say, what is your opinion on Fair Isle socks? I just kind of went nuts. I do have recommendations for how to hold and switch between two colors in any kind of Fair Isle. And I have this video out called Two Color Knitting Tricks. I kind of combine all of my favorite Fair Isle tricks into one video. How to carry over long floats and how to switch between the two. And I think I actually talk about how to, well, it's all in there. So we will link to that video in the show notes. It's certainly easier to watch me do it than to have me try to explain.
Talk about it. Yeah, I carry one. I have one in my left hand and I do that continentally and one in my right hand.
Yeah, I was doing that for, well, sometimes I do that, but now I have one color wrapped over my first finger one direction, the other color the other direction. So it's a little short flick to get one color and kind of a longer flick to get the other color. It's all in the video.
Yeah.
It's all there. Okay. Casey, that's all we have time for this week.
Okay.
If people want to find you online.
My website is Casey Ditz, the letter K and the letter C.
Very good. And if you want to find me, there is, of course, the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel and verypink.com. And that's it for this week. So until next week, stay warm, my friends.